Talk a little NHL. Lots happening. Joe Yurden from Pro Hockey Talk in the NHL joins us. Joe, how are you?
Doing great, Jason. Good to be on with you.
Joe, lots happening. The draft speculation. Brad Richards gets bought out today. And funny enough, he's going to get paid over $20 million not to play for the Rangers. But that's only the fourth highest buyout we've ever seen in NHL history. Isn't that crazy when you think about it? Like $20 million not to play hockey.
Not bad work if you can. Not bad not work if you can find it. Really.
Oh man,
I tell you, it's that was a contract that seemed to be kind of doomed from the get go. I mean, you think back to when all the circus that went on to try to get him signed, bringing teams into, just around Toronto to come in and meet with him and his agents to try to get him signed. And, the Rangers signed that 9-year deal and everybody was kind of like, really, 9 years? I don't know about that one. And yeah, it turned out it was only good for about 3 years. So, nice deal for him. He gets to walk away with a lot of money. And you know what? He's still going to be playing next year for somebody else.
Oh, who do you think is the best fit for Richards? Like, he's got to stay in the Eastern Conference, right?
You'd think he'd have to stay Eastern Conference just because, he's not the big center. He's not the two-way center that you kind of need in the West. But I keep thinking that, maybe a team like Washington, maybe a team like even Chicago, who's been desperate for somebody to play that second-line center spot, might have a use for him. I mean, I think about it. Richards didn't have a bad regular season. He had a strong season. He just flamed out in the playoffs. But I keep thinking if you put him between, say, maybe I don't know, Patrick Sharp and Mariota or Patrick Kane and somebody like that in Chicago, then suddenly the numbers blow up for maybe for a year or two, and he looks rejuvenated. So maybe that's the kind of situation for him. I think if you want to stay in the East, though, I can't help but think that maybe Washington, maybe you get him and Grabowski in there behind Backstrom and suddenly they're really strong down the middle.
Well, yeah, that's fair. The Rangers don't have any forwards other than Rick Nash signed past next season. So I know that, Brassard and those guys are all going to get signed. But I was reading your article on Tim Murray and Buffalo. Of course, they sit now. They lost the lottery. They got the number 2 overall pick. All the speculation is that Florida takes Ekblad. So let's hypothetically say they do. Which center do you think Buffalo leans towards?
Well, I had heard before they did all the meetings and all the stuff during the draft camp and the combine, that Buffalo's list was Reinhardt, Bennett, Ekblad. Now, things have obviously may have changed since then, and I can't help but think that Leon Draisaitl is a name that's really caught their attention. And now I'm wondering if it's maybe a toss-up between perhaps Reinhardt and Draisaitl at the second spot. I think no matter what, it's going to be a center, and Draisaitl can play center. I know he's played a little bit of left wing, but when you're looking at a pick between whether it's Reinhardt or Bennett or Draisaitl, I think the Sabres are in a great spot because I don't think they lose with any of those three. But I think if you're looking for somebody that's going to be a dynamic player right off the bat, Draisaitl's got all the hype to him right now. It seems a lot of teams are really hot on him, and if the Sabres pass on him, then I think things are sitting very nicely for the Oilers, right behind them to pick him. But, I think it's a win-win-win situation for Buffalo, regardless of who they end up getting. Now, the only way things get interesting is if the Panthers trade out and somebody jumps ahead of them and takes one of those three guys, and then Ekblad falls into their lap, then I think you might have some drama because then perhaps Buffalo can trade down with somebody that wants him. Something, maybe something cooks up there. But for right now, they're going to take a forward. I know a lot of people are reading into it that they think that Ekblad is the Sabres guy if Florida passes on him. But I don't think there's a way they take a defenseman. I think the guys they have in their system right now with Zadorov and Ristolainen and those guys, I think they're not set. But I think they've got a great setup at defense in Buffalo. But I think they need a forward to build on, and any one of those guys is going to be ideal for them. But from what I had heard before the combine, Reinhardt was their guy. I don't know if that's changed though.
Okay, yeah, it's funny. I know David Conte said it best. The longtime head scout of the Devils. He said, "Yeah, we don't have serious meetings into June." He says the players haven't played; they can't get any better or worse. Right? But the interview process, and maybe you look at different things. And you know, it's funny, the Ekblad scenario is so unique because Edmonton's, they have more depth at defense in their system than they do at center, but they're all left defensemen. Buffalo has a lot of defensive depth, but they don't have a centerman either. Yet everybody really likes Ekblad. Man, if Florida buy, like, do you think there's a chance he becomes Seth Jones and falls to number 4 or 5?
There's a possibility. I know there's so much talk building into this draft, and it's going to only get crazier, you know, before next week. You know, like I said, Dre Zittle's the big name this week. Who's to say it's not William Nylander next week? You know, who's to say it's not going to be Dal Colle next week? You know, maybe there's somebody else that catches somebody's attention here. And, you know, I think that's the issue with this draft, where you've got a lot of guys that are on the same plane talent-wise, where, you know, you don't have that definitive number one guy. Maybe Ekblad is that guy. And there's just, you know, the teams at the top end of the draft right now just don't have that organizational need to fill a defense. I think Florida does, but yeah, I mean, hey, who knows? They have needs at wing. They have need, you know, they could use extra forwards. It's a team that needs a lot of help, but so doesn't every other team at the top end of this draft. I think it's what makes it a little bit more dramatic than what's on. I mean, everybody's focused on next year with McDavid and Eichel, but I think this year it's a lot more intriguing because you could see anybody picked in any position here in the top 10. And, you know, I think for, you know, just from the Sabres' perspective, it's a good one for him to be in because you have so many guys that could end up panning out to be great players. And, you know, it's a luxury to be so bad that you can pick these guys. But, you know, maybe Ekblad, it's possible. I mean, Ekblad could fall. He could fall. I mean, if Edmonton has their hopes on him, it's very possible he could end up falling to third to him because the way the discussion goes, anything might happen. And I have to kind of set myself mentally to say anything could happen. Nothing should surprise you. Just let it happen.
The Sabres outside of the second overall pick, you know, do you think there's any chance, Joe, that they would move down?
I don't think they'll move down.
Yeah.
No, I think if you see them anything, I think you could see them deal off one or two of their second round picks because they have three this year.
Yeah.
You could see them deal maybe two of those guys off to somebody in the middle of the first round who isn't excited by anybody who's at their spot and they just want to get out. And I think that's a benefit to them because the way Tim Murray talked yesterday, you know, he mentioned Nick Ritchie. He mentions Jake Virtanen, and these are guys that could end up being in those spots anywhere from, geez, I mean, you could go anywhere from between 8 and maybe 20 that those guys might pop into. I mean, it depends on who you talk to. It depends on who is buying into what. But I think the Sabres, if they can get that second first-round pick, I think Tim Murray would be ecstatic because I think there is value to be had. It's not going to be superstar, you know, blow your mind kind of talent, but I think it's going to be guys that can play in the NHL, that could play in the NHL right away. But I think for Murray, he's looking at it as a chance to be able to spin those extra second round picks to be able to move up.
Yeah, it was, you know, it all depend on teams if they're looking for more than less. And, you know, Buffalo already has two first-rounders next year because they're going to have the Islanders pick. We all know that, and who knows where it's going to be. What's Murray – is Buffalo going to be patient? You know, when you look at their team, there was a lot of people that felt like their team maybe isn't really as bad as some thought. Now, I don't know, Joey, you saw them more than I did. Like, how far do the Sabres have to go in your mind? Are they, like, 7 or 8 players away like the Oilers before they're really competitive again?
Well, I guess it's probably for the best they're not in the West, because if they were in the West, they'd be looking at a 3 or 4 year thing to be able to get in place to be a competitive team. In the East, it's a lot different. I mean, just look at their division next year, and maybe half of that division could be really bad next year. I mean, you look at, you know, depending on what Toronto does, depending on what Ottawa does, Florida's probably going to be bad, and then you're looking at the same four teams that made the playoffs this year making it again next year. They're looking at a spot where maybe they're not totally guaranteed of being the last place team, even in that division. So, for me, I think Murray said goaltending's not a problem for them. I agree. They can go with Enroth, they can go with Neuvirth, and be fine, and they still have support in the minors. defense, it's very green. You know, they've got some guys there that can play. Mark Pesek can play very well. I think he's going to be a top four guy for him next season. Ristolainen is a guy I think could make the NHL full-time next year. Zadorov, they could go either way with him. They could either send him back to London or play him in the NHL. I don't think they would lose out either way. It works fine for them. And then you still have Myers. You still have, I'm blanking out on everybody here. But, yeah, it's just one of those situations where they're so thin at forward. And yeah. After that first line, things drop off horrendously for them. You know, you have Hodgson, you have Ennis, you have Foligno. And even Marcus Foligno, we saw flashes of good and bad from him last season. So, you know, for me, if things break right, they could be a lot better than they were last year. They won't be a playoff team, but they'll be a lot better. But I don't think that's what the Sabres want to be. I don't know that they want to be that much better. I think they want to be one of those teams that has the best shot at having the ping pong balls go their way to try to get McDavid.
What do you think they do with Drew Stafford and Christian Ehrhoff?
I think they're crazy if they swing Ehrhoff elsewhere and, you know, just do it to do it.
Okay.
I think Ehrhoff and Myers, they get killed by the media. But I think they both played very strong last year. It's a bad team, so the numbers look terrible. But I think they both played very well last year, all things considered. Stafford, to me, listen, Teddy Nolan loves him. He loved what he saw out of him after they traded Ott and they traded Miller and they got rid of everybody else. And Stafford really stepped up as a leader. But I still think that he's, you know, he's in a position where if he starts out hot and somebody sees a need where they need to get a score early on in the season, it could be like Thomas Vanek and they just deal him away quick because he's a guy who's going to be on an expiring deal. He's got a decent enough cap hit. And, you know, the Sabres aren't, you know, they're not hurting to make deals. So they'll make a deal if it's there. But I think Stafford is still a guy that ends up being dealt at some point next year. But, you know, Teddy loves him, and Teddy likes what he's seen out of him. So we'll see how much that counts for with this team. But I know he likes having some of those vet guys there to lead the way, and Stafford did a great job of that last season. So, you know, I'm very curious to see what ends up happening with him. I still think he gets moved because he's a guy that's got enough offensive talent. I thought he played very well at the end of last season. But, you know, he's not in that Vanek, you know, level of offensive talent where people are going to knock down their door to get him. If there's a contending team that needs a guy to play on their second line, I think they'll come calling.
Do you think the second overall pick plays in Buffalo, considering how they really screwed up their young kids last year and had the, you know, four guys 19 and under? Do you think the number two overall pick's a lock, or do you think they'll be patient and send him back to junior, maybe giving him even a better chance to get it, Connor McDavid?
Well, it's funny. Tim Murray said a few weeks back, and, you know, maybe his opinion's changed since then. He said that if they picked Ekblad, they would send him back to Barry right away. And, you know, I think that makes sense given the Sabres organization and the defensive depth they have. But if they get a Reinhart or if they get a Draisaitl or if they get a Bennett, I think they automatically get that 10-game peak, you know, before deciding whether or not they want to send him back to juniors. I think they're in a position where somebody that, if as long as it's a forward, I think they get a look. And I think they get a chance to prove that they're NHL quality right now. I tried to get Tim Murray to bite on asking him how many guys in this draft he thinks are eligible, you know, who could play in the league right now. And he said it all depended on the situation. Well, you know, you can read into a thousand different things with that with Buffalo, but I think if it's a forward, I think they give him a shot. But, you know, given how the organization's mishandled Grigorenko and how that whole thing has played out horribly here, I think they have to be very careful how it goes, because if the guy impresses enough right away to get people clamoring to keep him, you have to err on the side of caution, because the way things have gone with Grigorenko, it's just gone bad the last 2 years, and they absolutely cannot afford to do that again.
How good is Grigorenko, and do you think he's a player that might want out of Buffalo, considering how things have gone?
Well, yeah, I like him. I like him great as a person. I think he's a great kid, and I think he's had a really rough go of things. I mean, look at how things have played out for him here. You know, he's had, you know, basically two seasons here in Buffalo, and he's had what, five or six different coaches to listen to between Buffalo and Rochester and Russia and in Quebec too. You know, and to me, that's insanity. And it's crazy that he's had to deal with that many different voices telling him different things and what to do. And, you know, I know he's got a lot to prove to the fans here. He's got a lot to prove to basically everybody. But I think if the Sabres are smart, they start him in Rochester next year and you know, give him that chance to show what he's got and just try to be patient with him when they haven't been already, because forcing him into the NHL hasn't worked, because he's a kid with high-end talent, and he hasn't had the talented guys to work with here, as far as I'm concerned. And it's going to be very interesting to see how training camp plays out with him, because the pressure is going to be there again. Like, if people are counting on this to be like his make-or-break season, where, you know, if he doesn't show what he's got, then everybody's going to anticipate he's going to go back to Russia. I just don't know that that's the case. I think he wants to be here. He wants to stay here, and he wants to succeed, but it's just a matter of executing. And so far, he hasn't. There's been flashes of it. I mean, I saw him make a couple of passes last season. You know, granted, it's just two passes, but it was a couple of passes last year while he was in Buffalo, where I don't think there's another guy in the team that can make those kind of plays. But it's just a matter of being able to do it all the time, and he hasn't been able to do that. But I'd be very anxious to see how it plays out, because I just don't know. I don't know that he's going to be patient enough to want to stay in Buffalo if things flame out again this season.
Joe, I appreciate the great rundown. Enjoy the next week. Should be very interesting with compliance buyouts finishing up, the free agent period starting, at least the interview process and the draft.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to go through it.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Jason. Thanks.